This Kovayim of Chavov and Ral is the Gemara quotes Brises that are discussing the topic of Kovayim Hatzilus. This is then you have to be Mechabed a Sefer Torah. That's learned up in the Pasuk of Rambam. The Hilchos Sefer Torah writes that is learned up. You have to make an Oron in order to hold the Sefer Torah. The Rambam understands, I would have lost Pasuk Pshat Yosef Aronek, but it's one of the Klei HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah, you have to fill out the HaMikdash. You have to make a Beis HaMikdash with the Klei HaMikdash. But the Rambam methods writes otherwise. The Rambam assumes that the mitzvah of Asiyas HaOlem is not part of the Asiyas HaMikdash or Klei HaMikdash. It's a separate mitzvah to make an Oron to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah. And the Rambam writes in Ulcha says, sir, that's the marker of the din. You have to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah, that you have to, you're not allowed to put the Sefer Torah on the floor, you're not allowed to turn your back to the Sefer Torah. It's also learned that the Rambam could have written that it's learned that from another passage, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that you have to, if the pasuk says that they say b'tokum v'hadar t'pnei zokum, if the Torah says you have to be mechabed the tamachachom, the only reason why you have to be mechabed the tamachachom is because you learned Torah. That's m'shnei mamdeho omdim mipaneho v'koshkin, you certainly have to stand up and they're carrying the Sefer Torah. But the Rambam could have said that you learn it up in that pasuk. What I would have said, that's in the Minyan HaMitzvah, that's counted. Your Sisar on Eitz, the Rambam does not count in the Minyan HaMitzvah. In fact, it doesn't count in the Chorah, that should be an indication that it's part of the Mitzvah Yosef HaMikdash. Part of the Mitzvah making the Mikdash and the Klei HaMikdash. That's what the Rambam says is learned out from both of the Mitzvah, the Mechabit, the Torah is learned out both from the Pasuk. From St. Seva Tokon, with the Kabbalah Chaimah, from St. Bamdeh, Komim, with Panah, with Koshke, and also learned that from the Yosef Aronei. From the Neila, once you have to be Mechabed, the Rambam explains that if you have to be Mechabed, the Yosef Aronei to hold the Aseret HaDibros, so much more so the Sefer Torah, which contains the Aseret HaDibros plus much more. There are many more parshiyos in the Sefer Torah. The Rambam seems to assume that the Kedushas of Sefer Torah is greater, the Sefer Torah that we have down the hall, and the Beit Medrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Luchas HaBris. The Luchas HaBris are by the author. It's handwritten copy by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So that's more valuable as a collector's item, as a piece of archaeology. It's more interesting. It's more, you want to analyze the handwriting, whatever. But as far as Kedusha goes, the Kedusha of Sefer Torah is high because the Sefer Torah has the Aseret HaDibros plus many, many more parshiyos. So if the Torah says you have to be Mechabed, the Aseret HaDibros says anymore, so you have to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah. And from this, the Rambam understands also you have to be Mechabed the Mezuzah. You have to be Mechabed the Mezuzah. Mezuzah only has two parshiyos, so it's less than Tfilin. Tfilin has more Kedusha than Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than Tfilin, depending on the level of Kedusha depends on the number of parshiyos that you have, the amount of Torah Shabbat that you're dealing with. But still, included in the parshiyos, and this is in the Chabad Tfilin, in the Chabad Mezuzah, in the Chabad Sefer Torah, it's all Kedushas Torah Shabbat. So the dinim of being Mechabed, the Tfilin are discussed in Yizma. There are three prices. Funny Chabad, the first price says, Yashulot Mitzvot Shinus Aroi Avlo Shinus Kevah. It's only permissible to take a tiny nap, Shinus Aroi. How much is Shinus Aroi? So the Gemara says on the last line, Kidei Hilof Meo Amo. The amount of time that it takes an Adam Beinoni to walk Meo Amo. We calculated yesterday, how much is that? Very short amount of cost. It's 1/20th of a mil. A mil is 2,000 Alpayim Amo, 2,000 Amo. It's 100 Amo, so it's 1/20th of a mil. How long does it take to walk a mil for an Adam Beinoni? So we mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah Berurah says 18 minutes. Others say 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes. Let's say 22 and a half minutes. They take 1/20th of 22 and a half minutes. It's likely more than 1 minute. That's a Shinas Aroi. Anything more than that is already a Shinas Keva. And then the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hachi, there's a Brisa that says on the top of the page, Kam Shinas Aroi, today he looks Meo Amo. The Brisa practice says like that, the third line and the fourth line. That's this year for whenever you have a head for Shinas Aroi, not for Shinas Keva. It's only for 1 minute. Anything more than a minute and 10 seconds, already into the category of Shinas Keva. So the first Brisa says, you're only allowed to take Shinas Aroi. Tanyirich ben keva ben aroi is mutter. Tanyirich a third bite is like keva by aroi. Three ways to it. Mutter is like kash. If he's holding onto the tefillin in his hand, then we wouldn't even permit him to take the shinas aroi because he may drop the tefillin. Dropping the tefillin on the floor, that constitutes bizoyin atzil. So that you're not allowed to do. What if Adhikar is still doing lav? What if he removed the tefillin? He's not holding out. They took off the tefillin and he put it in a tefillin zekel, or he covered it over with a sheet or with a towel or something, and it's over there. He wants to take a nap. He wants to go to sleep over here. But you do that all the time. You put your tefillin zekel on your desk in your dorm room, and you go to sleep. But then you have to leave the tefillin in the basement. You're not allowed to sleep in a room that has a pair of tefillin. Why not? But that's what the right that it says. Ben keva, ben arah, you're permitted to sleep shina keva. That means if paris dugri lavi, if you covered over the tefillin, then it's in a position of covered. It's in a covered position. Sounds to me, come on, let's say you don't have a tefillin exactly. You didn't cover them over. You just had your tefillin in the sitting on the desk. So it sounds to me, come on, you're not allowed to take a shina keva. That's what it sounds like. That's a violation of covered up tefillin. You have to have them covered up. Yeah, you covered up in a special kiss, shal tefillin. Kiss on the yuchad lekar. But at least you have to have at least courage to drink love. You have to at least put your, when he takes off his clothes and knows to go to sleep, he puts his suit, he puts his shirt, he puts his kafiyah, whatever, on top of his suit. And the other braisa that distinguishes between shinas keb and shinas aroy, that's talking not that you're holding the tefillin, nor that it's in a tefillin zekel on the table. He's wearing the tefillin, and he wants to take a nap while he's wearing the tefillin. So that's the braisa that distinguishes that shinas aroy is mutter. Shinas keva is also. What's the averus? He sleeps shinas keva. Why is that a bizayin of tefillin? Whatever the averus is, why aren't you in violation of that averus if you're going to sleep shinas aroya as well? So Rashi and Tosis explain. Rashi writes, the manchi bereshay, 6 lines from the bottom. If manchi bereshay, the Gemara said the 3-way hod is offered with the other. If you're holding a hod, the manchi bereshay. If you're wearing a hod, the first 2-3 lines. So Rashi writes, Diba Maskot, the Manke Bereshi, Aroi Mutter Keva, also, why is it also? The Shina per se is Mutter. There's no violation of Kavod HaTzulin to sleep with the Tzulin on. Either the Gemara in the first place in Yuma, but the Gemara learns that on Kavod HaTzulin from his Dik, it says regarding this, is Vahaya Mitzchah Tomit, the Rosh and Lahan Lifnei Hashem. How is that physically possible? Vahaya Mitzchah Tomit? He doesn't go to his death, he doesn't go to sleep. How can he be Vahaya Mitzchah Tomit? So the Gemara says, no, but it means a different thing. When he's wearing the tzitz, he doesn't wear the tzitz 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When he wears the tzillin, when he wears the tzitz, he shouldn't be misiach das from the fact that he's wearing the tzitz. He shouldn't take it around and have any kalos rush. That's called a hefnach das. So, ayah mitzvah tamin, while he's wearing the tzitz, he should have it in mind that he's wearing the tzitz. How exactly it fits into the word tamin is a problem. That's how the Gemara interprets it. Ayah mitzvah tamin, while he's wearing the tzitz, he shouldn't be misiach das from the tzitz. So apparently all the Mishnah points out, going to sleep with it, and then the Gemara says, if I sit to such a lot, that you're not allowed to be in the CSR, it's certainly more so by filling with the Baba Chaim, because the tzitz only says, Kodesh LaHashem, the Shem Yudkei Rokhi only appears once. So the filling, the Rambam writes, the Rambam says that and he counted it, so the Rambam says, the Shem HaShem appears 42 times. The negative Shem Membeis, that the Rambam doesn't like that, but that's what the commentaries on the Rambam say. What do they have to write that it adds up to 42? He says the Shayyad and the Sharosh, each the Shayyad has 21 Shemus and the Sharosh has 21 Shemus. Both together add up to 42 Shemus. But the Rambam says that's the Kavah Chaimah, that the Gemara says, Madat, the Siddh, you're not allowed to be Messiah, even though only Hashem Hashem one, so the Tzillim that has 42 Shemus, certainly you're not allowed to be Messiah. So the Rishonim will point out, apparently sleeping with the Tzillim is not a violation of Hesed Adah. Why not is a big problem? Why shouldn't it be a violation of Hesed Adah? Shadisari has a whole minor about this. He quotes the Rishonim, he discusses it. After the Rishonim assume the Hesed Hadas only means while you're awake and you're able to be conscious of the fact that you have to fill it out or the Tzitzan, the Messiah Das, and you act in a way of Kalos Rosh. But if the person sleeps, so he's not conscious at all, so that's not a violation of Hesed Hadas. That's what the Rishonim says. So sleeping per se is not a violation. Otherwise, it would have been prohibited. Even Shinas Arayin would be a violation of Hesed Hadas. The reason why Shinas Keva is also is a Hashash Shema Yafriach. One thing may lead to the other. The sleeping per se is Mutter. The one who sleeps usually will be Mefiach. Yes, will come out from his body. The death, the Hafrocha, just like to go to the Beis HaKissim with the Tzillin around is a violation of Kavod HaTzillin to be Mefiach. Even though he's not the Rokha, just the Hafokh itself is also a violation of Kavod HaTzillin. So the Gemara, the Tanoim say that this chashash Emma Yafiach is only if it's going to have a Shinas Keva. That's going to have a Shinas Arai. So a minute and a half, then you're not Koshish. That in that minute and a half, he's going to be Mefiach. You're going to sleep more than a minute and a half, then you have the chashash Emma Yafiach. Now, Hapach is a violation of Tzoratzum, but sleeping per se is not a violation. Gemara has at the end of the third parish, the end of Lulav HaGazur, the Gemara discusses Makot HaBraisa that goes through the dinim of Chinuch, of the last line in the Mishnah in the third parish, and then based on Aleph, the very last line in the last Mishnah in the third parish concludes Kot Mehedela Naneh Chayiv B'Lulav, that there's a din of Chinuch and the mitzvah of lulav. What age should the child be that you have to be mechanach the child with the mitzvah of lulav? I remember my little children were so little they couldn't even hold it. They couldn't even hold the lulav. They would fall down holding onto the lulav. They would go to sleep. So they wanted to shake the lulav. So the Mishnah says that there's no chiyuv chinuch strictly speaking. If they want to, so let them play with the lulav and the esrog. That's why we always used to buy an esrog that didn't have a pitzim, because we knew for sure that the kids were going to break the pitzim. So the little kids, even bigger children, also break the pitzim. So the Mishnah says that strictly speaking, there's no chiyuv chinuch on the cotton until he's reached the age that he's able not only to hold the lulav, to be minaneya, to do all the nanuim in all the directions. The David Ruchas Lamaila Lamata, even though the Ninua is not Miyakit, so the Gemara says on the second line from the top of Men Beis Amidalas, Homida Akbei, Nafik Bei. The Gemara says when you pick up the lulav, you're already Yaitzei, even though you didn't do all the nanuim. So the Rishonim say, you see from the Gemara that the nanuim, and not likuv and lechatzila is taka mitzvah min amuvcha min atayra to do nanuim. It's not just in the Rabbah. Nanuim is a hidur, not a hidur, it's a mitzvah bishlemusa deraita. How do you know? Because the Mishnah says that the shear of the height of the hadasim and arabis is 3 tzvachim, and the shear of the height of the lulav is 3 tzvachim plus an extra tefach kedei lananeyabo. 4 tzvachim. What do you need an extra tefach kedei lananeyabo? Obviously that's a din deraita. That there's a din. The mitzvah of Netilas Lulav Mechatzila requires Nanua Hanika, Nanua that should be Nika, noticeable. That the Lulav will not protrude the Tefach HaBach HaHadashim and HaRavis, there will be an incomplete Ninua. Even though he will be waving and it won't be noticeable, so it's not good enough. So even though the Nanua is only, it's like a deraita, but it's only Mechatzila, it's not the Akabiri Evid, there's no Chiyuv Chinuch until a child is Yodel and Nanea, until he's able to do the full Maisa Mitzvah Nishmai Mutso on his own. If he needs me to help him, then there's no Din of Chinuch. So the Gemara takes off on it, and Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes that the text in Chagiga, Perek Aleph, it says, the last 10 lines on the bottom of Mem, Beis Amid Aleph, but the Braisa says, and each and every mitzvah, the Shia Chinuch is, there isn't one age for Chinuch for all the mitzvahs HaTorah. The mitzvah of Chinuch begins at a different age in each and every mitzvah. If he's a daily hisatev, if he's a daily shmatzilov, or if he's a daily dabir, or if lamda torah, and so on and so forth. This is a daily first kapo called from shulim beis agron. If he knows how to duchen, you get him to duchen. If he knows how to eat korban pesach, he knows how to eat kazayis, leisha, korban pesach, and so on. Every mitzvah has its own shear of chinuch, and it's not necessarily going to be the same time. What does it mean, Katna Hayadel Lehistate? What do the words mean? Katna Hayadel Lehistate. Lehistate probably means to put the talus over his head? No. That's a mitzvah bishle mutso. That's considered a mitzvah bishle mutso. There is a machlekes in Rishonim whether one is chayiv in tzitzis. If you wear an abakantis the way we wear, is that chayiv in tzitzis? There are some Rishonim are of the opinion that you only chayiv in tzitzis if you do atifa. If you don't do atifa, there's no mitzvah. Tzitzis, when you wear an abakantis, a bracha lo atolak, you're not mitayim anymore. Where they get the shenayim talk from? Because you stam beged homa matar ve atol and tzitzis. I've come to the exam, but there is some. Stam beged homa matar is the beged like the Afghanistan people wear that goes over their head. When the Torah was given, when the Rabbanu Shlom used the word beggar, that's the kind of a beggar that he was talking about. That's where a minority opinion in Rishon. We don't talk like that. We talk that the Rabbakam is also chayiv in tzitzis. A tie is not chayiv in tzitzis. If you have a prayer shawl that just goes around the neck, that's not a scarf. It's not chayiv in tzitzis. But if you wear a garment that covers the body, significant amount of the body, it's just a little bigger than a tie, is also not chayiv in tzitzis. That should be up to the significant size. So that's a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah and Halacha Shulchan. How big does the Abakam have to be? That it should be chayiv in tzitzis. And it doesn't have to have atifa. Nonetheless, we have to do atifa. Why do we do atifa? the Pasuk shot, we want to satisfy the other opinion, because according to those who hold the Marach HaRezorua, hold that you need that Tifu, because that's the Begit Halam Batera. If you're going to wear an Abacantus, and you're not going to do an Atifa, if you're going to wear a Talus, not do an Atifa, according to the Marach HaRezorua, you're saying a Bracha L'Atoma, you're not fulfilling any mitzvah. So at the time of the Bracha, we do Atifa, then to satisfy that opinion, we're Choshish for Bracha L'Atoma. Or, could be more than that. Could be that even though we assume that it's some Begit Halam Batera, is any Begit. A beggar that covers the body is also a beggar, but still is either a mitzvah to do an atifa. Maybe that constitutes a mitzvah of Dishlei Musa. Maybe that's what it means. Katan Havela Hisatev, Chai B'tzik, the style of the Katan Havela Naneah, that the Ninua by the Zalim Ninim is not Likuvah, because Merag Be Nafikbe, but Lachatzila Deraisi needs Ninua, like the Rishonim pointed out, because of the fact that the Lulav has to have a minimal height of 4 tzvachim, 3 tzvachim, Kineged, the Hadassim, and Arovitz, plus an additional tefach kedela na neyapo, that's the Lashon HaMishnah, that you knew it should be nicker, to see that it's a hidda lahatchila, it's a mitzvah bishlein musa, it may be parallel to that thing, katna hadela na neyah, chai belulav, because that's the mitzvah bishlein musa, katna hadela shtateh, chai betitzis, maybe itos is the hidda mitzvah bishlein musa, of mitzvah betitzis, maybe that's what it means, I'm not sure, there's a Rashi and Erechen on that base on the base, Mr. Sefer, part of this Tosefta is quoted in Erech, and also Tosefta is only quoted here in Tosefta, in the Chagiga. In Erech, and only this line appears. Katna Hadel is Satev Chayev B'tzitzis. And there on the side of the Gemara in Erech, and in Kutshin, the sisters, they have the Shikim Kubetzis printed. Every so often they'll quote a Rashi Ksav Yad that we don't have in our comments of Rashi. So they quote a Rashi Ksav Yad, the Rashi says, what does it mean, Katna Hadel is Satev? That the little kid knows how to put on the talus properly. That he puts it on with his right hand and he takes it off with his left hand. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch regarding tefillin. When you put on the tefillin, you should put on with your right hand. When you take off the shalyad is very difficult to take off with your left hand. But take off the shalrosh, that's easy. So when you come time to take off the shalrosh, should you take off with your right hand or the left hand? So if the person is a righty, he should be mahadir. That's what they, in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham quotes in the Shalom. The Shalom got it from Rashi. Rashi understood that that's what this Tosefta says. He got it from this Rashi. When it's time to take off the Shalosh, you should be behadah to take it off with the left hand to demonstrate that you're fumbling a little bit. You would have really wanted to leave the tefillin on for a longer period of time. If you're going to take it off with the right hand, if the person is a righty, if you're going to take it off with his right hand, it's going to come off quicker and easier. And he shows that he's happy to get rid of the tefillin. The way that this Shalom gets its idea from, you should put it on with the right hand, take it off on the left hand. Rashi and Erechin, the base, only base, interprets that that's what the Brisa means. Katna Hadel Lehisateh. Lehisateh doesn't mean to put the talus over his head. The Tata means when he puts on the talus, he knows that the proper Derech Eretz dictates to put on the talus with the right hand to show that you're very eager to fulfill a mitzvah of talus. And when you take off the talus, you should remove it with the left hand if the person is a right. You should remove it with the left hand to demonstrate that he's fumbling a little bit. He would have preferred to leave it on a little longer. He's not so quick to rip off the talus, to yank off the talus. So that's the gist of this brayton. Cotton hadel and that means when the cotton is able. That's the Rav Elvela toleration points out on the first half in Erechin. The shiurim of Rav Elvela on Erechin. Very cheerful shiur. There are some people who learn Erechin just in order to learn Rav Elvela Shiurim. Like there are many people who learn Cheres just in order to learn the Maharital Ghazi, because he has such fascinating comments. But if you don't learn the Gemara, you don't know what the Maharital Ghazi is gonna be talking about. By Chassidish people, a lot of Chassidish guys in the yeshivas learn Cheres, they're not interested. They just want to know what the Tulim of the Maharital Ghazi. Just reprinted them now. Two big volumes with footnotes on the bottom of the page. Very fascinating. So yeah, in the first Daf in Erechin, Rav Elvela has this comment. He says, that's the gist of this Tosefta, that there is no one age for the mitzvah of chinuch. Every mitzvah has a different age for chinuch. Hatzad HaShav Shebehem is when the katan has reached the age that is able to fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So what's part of the age Bishlei Musa for the mitzvah of tefillin? The Dina of the Gemara says that there is chinuch on tefillin. Katan Adel Nishmat Tefillah, Avi Vlakeh Lo Tefillin. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tefillin quotes from the Baluita that we don't follow this Gemara. That we don't, there are more rights that we don't give the child tefillin to wear until Mamish is Yid Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad. So then he's Bar Mitzvah already. So then there's no Chinuch. So what does the Baluita, what does he do with the Gemara? What the Baluita is disagreeing with the Gemara. He says we don't follow the Gemara.
There's all discussion in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch exactly what in the world is the Baal HaYisa driving at. What do you mean? You don't begin to give the child tefillin until after you do Yimashonim Yamecha, then he's Chayim HaNatayra. Unless he means that he doesn't have Shtei Tzairis. In order to be Bar Mitzvah, you have to have Shonim V'Simonim. So you Yimashonim Yamecha, that's the Shonim. But then you have to have Simonim. You have to have the Shtei Tzairis drawing on the Eva or Erevo. So maybe that's what the Baal HaYisa means, that the Kutna Hadea Lishma Tefillin, Vavu Lakech Latefillin only begins after you have Shonim and you don't have Simonim. But that's very rare. But we usually assume that whoever has Izigil Echlal Shonim is Izigil Echlal Simonim. We always assume that when a boy reaches the age of 13 or a girl reaches the age of 12, we assume they probably have Shtei Tzairis. We assume that they are Bar Mitzvah. So what is he interpreting in the Gemara like that? That's how the Baal HaYisa reads the Gemara. Katan Hadea Lishma Tefillin after he reaches the age of 13. But we know that he doesn't have Shtei Tzairis. So then if he's Igiya Lechinuch, the age of 13, you have to check if the kid is a gil, you know, that's strange. Anyway, that's the Ramah quotes this, a lot of strange Baal HaYisa. A lot of very strange Baal HaYisa. This is one of them. Baal HaYisa is very cryptic. He doesn't give a full sentence. He never explains what he's talking about. He just gives you a psak and he goes like that. So this is one of the unclear Baal HaYisa. What does it mean? He knows how to be careful with wearing the tefillin. If he does know how to be careful, then he's not able to fulfill the mitzvah d'shlei musaf. But if he knows how to be careful, then he's able to fulfill the mitzvah d'shlei musaf tefillin. Then when is that? When did he reach that age? The Rashi says he doesn't say katan adel lohaniach tefillin. Katan adel lishma tefillin. Vaniach is at an early age, but that's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah d'shlei musaf. The Rashi writes, "Katan adel lishma tefillin, shelo yikanes b'hem lebeis hakiseh." That he won't go into the beis hakiseh wearing the tefillin. But Avel v'lo talreich, he has in his sefer on Rosh Hashanah Yom Matzuka, has a comment on this Rashi. He says he should have said also shelo lo hafiach b'hem also, not only shelo yikanes b'hem lebeis hakiseh. Lassus Tzarachov, that's one form of the Zion of the Tzivah. But the Gemara by us is clear that even Ashinas Keva, Ashina for more than a minute and a half is not allowed with the Tzivah on Shema Yafiq Vem. That's what the Rashi in the Taisus. So why did Rashi, that's a little strange there, the Rashi at the end of the Tarek and Mendez. Why does Rashi only say Lishmat Tzivah Shulei Konasam Vezakise should be Huad Inami? If he's any of them, Lishmat Tzivah Shulei Yafiq Vem. If you say that the mitzvah chinuch only begins when the child has reached the age that he's able to fulfill a mitzvah bishlei musa, the bishlei musa means not only shalo yata b'hem tzarachav, shalo yafiach b'hem also. Taisus here has a comment. Avol shinas kev aloi. Taisus quotes on Chavah v'menalos. There is a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Tev. There was a figure in the days of the Mishnah who was known as Elisha Balak Nafayim. It's not Elisha HaNavi, it's not the biblical figure Elisha. Elisha Balak Nafayim lived in the days of the Gzeres HaShemai. And it was against the Roman law, they made a Gzeres that you're not allowed to wear tefillin. So one day he was in Moshe Nefesh, he was wearing tefillin. And he saw one of the policemen coming from a distance, and he got petrified. He took off the tefillin and he held it in his hand. And then the policeman saw what he did, so he came close and he said, "What do you have in your hands?" He told him a lie. He said he has Tanser Yoyna. He has the wings of a dove. So the guy said, "Let me see." So he opened his hands and miraculously it turned into Kansa Yoyna. Or the guy, he was seeing things. He had a... He thought that it looked like Kansa Yoyna, whatever. So he let him get away with it. So the Gemara says, Gemara makes a comment. Tefillin, tzvichim, gufnoki, in order to be permitted, not everyone is allowed to wear tefillin. An adult, not only children. An adult is only permitted to wear tefillin if an adult has a gufnoki. As Elisha Balak Nafayim, just like that person who was Moshe Nefesh to wear the tefillin, he had a gufnaki, and that's why he was allowed to wear tefillin. So he was Moshe Nefesh to wear tefillin, the Shas HaSakhan. So other people are only permitted to wear tefillin if they have a gufnaki like Elisha Balak Nafayim. What does that mean? To the exclusion of whom? Who shouldn't wear tefillin? So the Gemara has a dispute between Abai and Rabbi. The Amar Abai says the only Gemara shall not fear for him. If a person has a sickness, a person has a condition, and he can't control himself from hafracha, even though he can control himself, shalom lasa tzaracha while the tefillin are on. If he has to go to the bathroom, take off the tefillin. That he's able to control. But he's unable to control the hafracha. So Abai says he should not wear tefillin. And Rabbi disagrees and he says, no. Shelo Yishan Bohem. Rabbi says, if he has such a condition, he's so weak, he's so sick, that he cannot control himself from falling asleep with the tefillin on, then we would recommend he's not allowed to wear tefillin. Some of that person is so sick in the hospital, he doesn't know what he's doing, so if you'll put on tefillin, he's going to fall asleep with the tefillin. So then Rabbi says, he's not allowed to wear tefillin. But if he has a condition, he's awake. But he has a condition, he has an upset stomach, whatever, he's not able to control himself from hafaka. So Rabbi sounds like he says that he is allowed to wear tefillin. Aye, but isn't it against our Gemara? Our Gemara seems to assume that hafaka betefillin is after. The place he says, Rabbi the Shari Abai Lisha, not that Abai disagrees with the Rabbi. Abai is also not saying not allowed to sleep. So Hasan Abai Gufir Hach, Abai agrees that he's not allowed to sleep at soon. Now the Tassava, Apal Tishay Nizar, Tishim Kelisha, Menichim, Tishim Nizar Shalay Aftia. Tishim Gufir, what does place it say? That Abaye is Mekel, Tosis says. Abaye is Mek. Rabbi agrees with Abaye and his Machmer more. That's what Tosis says. Rabbi is a Machmer. Rabbi says, not only are you not allowed to wear tefillin if you know that you do hafraka, you can't control hafraka, but if you know that you can control sleep, even though you can't control hafraka, but you can control sleeping, and when you're going to sleep, you probably will have a focus. The Rav is even machmir on that. And Abaye is mekel. Abaye says, no, we would permit you to wear tefillin if you can control our prophet, even though you cannot control sleeping. Why? I but Abaye is masking that you're not allowed to sleep at stone. That's only a Gzeir Hashem Yafir. It's not about doing. As long as the person, that's the Tyson Shreve, that's the Machlegis Abaye Rav. As long as the person can control the hafrach, even though he cannot control sleeping, because sleeping is only gezeir shem yafiyachem, it may not lead up to hafrachas, Abaye says such a person should wear tefillin. And Rabbi disagrees and he says, no, also not. Also not. So that's the question. You're only machanach a cotton to do a mitzvah, he's able to fulfill a mitzvah, ishle musa. The Rashi says Vishle Musa's Lishma Tzilov Shalikon Islam Beit HaKisa and Rosh Lala Atus Tarachov. Now Velva Latayna said it should include even more than that, even Shaloya Fiyachem as well. Because by an adult, that's certainly the mitzvah of Vishle Musa, but be careful Shaloya Fiyachem. The Shaila there is, would you, yeah, both, Abai Barabba both said, you wouldn't permit a person to wear tefillin if he has such a condition that he's unable to control our prophet. So for sure that shows that that's the mitzvah of Bishlei Musa. We said, not only Bishlei Musa, we recommend to the person, don't wear tefillin. If the person has a condition, he cannot control our thoughts. So we tell him, don't wear tefillin until a couple of tefillin is up, until you get better. So we certainly would tell the child that he shouldn't put on tefillin if he cannot control our thoughts. It's certainly so. The Rabbi has said, if you see that Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Tes, well, Rabbi Lutz commented on the Rashi is certainly correct. As that time, a mitzvah b'shlei musa. You tell an adult, don't wear tefillin if you can't control that thought. Be mevatel a mitzvah. So certainly you don't allow the person to do the mitzvah. Not even shalom b'shlei musa. Worse than that.
There, there. There's
one Gzeir Shema Yatir.
Another
Gzeir Shema Yishan.
Who says
Shema Yishan? Isn't that the Shema Yishan? Well,
you also
worry if
you're
going to
be
closely,
then you might count to
the... Which rubber? Where? In Shabbos or in Sukkot? Where? In Shabbos?
Yeah.
Shalom Yishan.
Right.
Sleeping itself is not a nisa deraisa. It's just you're not allowed to sleep in the rabbana with the tefillin on shema yafiyachem. Right. The rabbi says that the rabbi claims that the person has a condition that prevents them. He can't control himself from falling asleep. Sometimes older people can't control themselves. They'll fall asleep for a long time in the middle of the day. So then we wouldn't allow, Rabbi says, we wouldn't permit such a person to wear tefillin. So why is that Gzeirah? We know that he can't control the sleeping. We know for sure he's going to fall asleep with his tefillin on. He's going to wait until, let's say, for an hour. We know for sure he's going to fall asleep in the middle of chakras for 2-3 minutes. And then it's a hashash and a yap yap then. Is that long as there? I think so. He doesn't say Shema Yishan, he says Shelo Yishan Bohem. Shelo Yishan Bohem. Our Gemara discusses on the bottom line, the Gemara has a brisa. What if a person is wearing tefillin and he becomes a Baal Keri? He feels that Keri is coming out of his body. So, out of covered up tefillin, he's not allowed to be Oichez Bikstito. He should remove the tefillin. He shouldn't take off the tefillin by holding the bayis, which has more kedusha. He should rather remove the tefillin by taking them off with the ritzua. Oichez beritzua to remove the tefillin, ve'ena oichez bikstita. Dei Reb Yankel. The other thing Mark speaks about hasmada, those who learn in yeshiva are not allowed to sleep in the daytime for more than a minute and a half. Is that what it says? No. There's even less than that. Sheep and Nishma. How much is Sheep and Nishma? Not too long. Okay. Then the Gemara speaks about Kavanat Tzilin. Okay, Kavanat. What? By the way, it doesn't appear in this Gemara. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that they recommend a person should leave on the Tzilin until the end of the Tzilin of the Tzibur. When is the end of the Tzilin of the Tzibur? So the Ramah quotes from an earlier source till the end of the Kaddish that follows Aleinu. The Kaddish that follows Aleinu, he assumes, is not a Kaddish Yosom, that if someone is in Avelis, he says Kaddish, if nobody's around, you don't say Kaddish. The Ramah assumes that the Kaddish after Aleinu is part of the davening. Even if there's no Avel, you have to say Kaddish. That's why I always say Kaddish after Aleinu, because of that Ramah. There's only Goen and many others disagree with the Ramah. They say that it's a misprint, the Ramah. Not the Ramah is a misprint, the Ramah had a bad text. The Ramah was quoting a sefer that had a misprint in it, and it's not correct. The Kaddish after Uvol Tzion, which is the Kaddish Tiskabel, and the Chazim recites Tiskabel, Slos, and Luz, and the Chabesh Yisrael, that's the conclusion of the Tzim of the Tzibah. The Kaddish after Aleinu is only a Kaddish Yosem. That's what they disagree. They say, you all agree, whether you have the Vilna Goen Girsa, Magan Avram, the Vilna Goen, or you have the Girsa of the Ramah, at least everybody agrees, you're not supposed to remove the tefillin until after the Kaddish, after the Avol HaTzion, that's for sure. And any given shul, usually more than half the people, sometimes including the Rabban, are taking off the tefillin before the Kaddish, after the Avol HaTzion. So that's everybody's masmah, that's not proper. Unless the guy can make a plane, he's going to miss his ship, there's no barrier, has to run out. But if he's not in such a big rush, so that's for sure, you have to wait until after the Kaddish, after the Avol HaTzion. And then the Ramah, the way the Ramah has the Girsa, the Ramah claims that the Kaddish after Aleinu is the official conclusion of the Tzilah of the Tzibur. It's not only a Kaddish Yosem. Even if there's no Yosem, we should say that Kaddish, and the Tzilah should not be removed until after that Kaddish. The Gemara doesn't talk about that, but some, I noticed this morning that some of the people took off the Tzilah a little early. Okay, let's see. The Gemara just ends off with the Kavanat Tzilah. Of course, the person is not permitted to wear Tzilah and do Tashmish Amitah. That for sure is improper. That's Kalos Rosh. There's nothing wrong with Tashmish Amitah if the person is married. But not with the tefillin on. Not only if he's wearing tefillin, you're not allowed to have tefillin in the same room. You're not allowed to have a sefer Torah in the same room. You have to put a mechitza gevayah so it's open. Or put the tefillin in a closet or in a different room. Sefer Torah in a different room. Even mezuzah is a problem. If you have a mezuzah on the door to the bedroom and the couple wants to have Tashmish Amitah, you have to make sure the door closes so the mezuzah will be on the outside and you cover over the mezuzah. There's a question, what if the mezuzah has a case on it, but the case is kavua? As the mezuzah case, is that sufficient that you have to hang another sheet on top of the mezuzah case? So there should be something that's not kavua, not the permanent cover. So there's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, even at Kedei Kach. This is certainly a violation of kavod atzilin. To do tashmish amitah while a person is wearing tzilin. Okay. So those are the dinim of kavod atzilin. The dinim in Shulchan Aruch have covered a printed tzvarim as well. Even though the printed Tzvarim, the printed Gemara, printed Tanakh, even though it doesn't really have Kedusha Kisei HaKodesh, it's not written on parchment, it's not written with the Ksav HaShuris and so on. But nonetheless, it says that the Achranim says that Mechatchila you should give cover to the printed Tzvarim in the same way we would give cover to a Sefer Torah. So it's not proper to put printed Tzvarim on the floor
or to turn a sefer upside down like this, or to lean on a sefer like this, something like that. Years ago, it was always a big joke in the yeshiva, the mashgiach obviously used to walk around the Beis Medrash, and he used to be makbid, the students used to leave their pens in the middle of the Gemara, because he used to underline pens or pencils, he used to leave like this, he used to have a ruler and underline lashes and underline faces, whatever, so the mashgiach would always walk around, he'd be moving everybody's pens from the Gemara. That's why it always used to be the joke. As if that was that wasn't the only thing that he did. He used to be married to students for chizuk and shmiras and mitzvahs in general. But that was the most common thing that he was known for. That he used to be medactic to remove the pens. Show the guy shouldn't leave the pen anymore. Is that correct? Those are the shulchan aruch. You have to show cover to the printed tzura. The sefer is not going to cry. You're not going to get a nervous breakdown because you don't. Some people get a nervous breakdown if you don't give them the kiddushin. You don't give him the right cover and the chasimah. The sefer is not going to have a heart attack over it. But it means we will have distorted priority. We have to know, to be whatever we're machabe, so that means that we're placing a higher priority. We consider this as something more chashim. You have to be machabe Torah, you have to be machabe Lomdei Torah, in order to set your priority straight. Kovet is always just faith. Kovet is always Kovet Amadum. It doesn't mean anything. There's a medrash that's quoted by the Sefer Haredim. The medrash is a medrash tanfuna on the end of Torah, I think it's on Vayigash, on Parshas Vayigash. There's a medrash tanfuna that says on the pasuk that Yehuda shal chofanav goyishla laharis lefanav laharis goshen, something like that. So the medrash tanfuna says on the word shalach lefanav, that Yankov Avinu sent Yehuda as a shliach, shalach lefanav. So the Medrash takes off on that and says that the mitzvot are the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and shluchim shlodim kemoisai, and that's why you have to be mechabed the mitzvot, because indirectly if you mechabed the mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if you're mechabed him. That's the whole idea of showing kavod to mitzvot and showing kavod to the Torah. It's not that the mitzvah needs the kavod, it's not that the Talmud Chacham, sometimes Talmud Chacham needs the kavod, but that's not the reason why the Rebbe Shlomo was mechabed to give kavod to the Talmud Chacham. The reason why was that we should have the priority straightened out in our mind. What do we consider more important than what? So the tefillin has kedusha. You have to be mechabed the tefillin. You have to be mechabed the printed form as well. Okay, what does the Mishnah continue? This Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, and sounds like it contradicts it. The last line of the Mishnah, Chaf Hei Amid Aleph, concluded, you only have to sit in sukkah for achilas keva. Achilas aroi is hefter gomo chutz yisuk. Then you read this Mishnah. Ma'isa de'adil on the Rabbi Yochanan Zak and Lita Mishatav shall to have a taste of the soup. The Rabbi Amil, they brought shnei koi salvas of lisha on mine. They brought a bucket of water. He was thirsty, so they gave him a drink of water. But they gave him shalach manas on chalamoy sukkah. They gave him a cup of water, a bucket of water, and two dates. So Omru, and both Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai said about this little bit of soup, and Rabbi Gamliel said about the dates with the water, halum the sukkah, bring them upstairs. He wants to eat them in the sukkah. Why was the sukkah upstairs? So it says to look in the Rashi Shabbos Kuf Nun Dalet on the date. But the Rashi writes in Shabbos that the practice is manatanoim, it was a common practice to make the sukkah on the roof. That's what Rashi wrote on the daf before, except the Rashi before didn't bring the rice. On Chafen the date, the Rashi wrote, the stam sukkah hayoitim the gagaseim. When the Gemara said there's an issue of yichud, that the Chasam Kala will have the sukkah upstairs and the Chasam will go to the Beis HaKisei, so the Kala may be a violation of yichud with the other people. The Rashi wrote, the Stam sukkah hayoros in the Gadol Sein. That's the Rashi in Shabbos, quotes this Mishnah and several other Mishnahs to then say, halam the sukkah, bring it upstairs to the sukkah, which apparently was on the roof. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Maita Lister. It doesn't make any sense. The Mishnah writes a din, and then he quotes a story from the Tanoim, from the Tzadikim, that contradicts the Pesach of the Mishnah. It sounds like it's saying that even Achilah Taroi, you have to eat in the Chesukah, and for the Gemara, Chesukah, Mechzura, Behochi Katoni. There's a line missing. What it means is like this. That's the din. In Bala Achmal Atma, does it make sense? Is there a Midas Chasidus to be Machmir? Sometimes people think to bring them in as chassidus and it's just ridiculous. There's no kiyum, there's no heated, there's nothing with nothing. But the Mishnah tells me, no, bola achmalat ma machmir. Leiz be mishum, and it's meaningful, there is a kiyum. And not only is there a kiyum, leiz be mishum yuharo. It's depending who it is.
If it's Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, then it's Leisay Mishum Yuharo. But if it's some Pashit to Balabas in the presence of a Talmud Chacham who's not, Talmud Chacham is having a cup of tea in the Sukkah, then the Balabas says, oh, I'd like to have a cup of tea, I'm going to go upstairs to the Sukkah. So then it is a violation of Yuharo. He says, who else is there? So the Mishnah says, if it's a Tzaddik like Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, like Rabbi Gamliel, there's no issue of Yuharo. By Tanan is the ideal of Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, Litmus, Atash, Rabbi Gamliel, Snake, Tzaddik, Lishman, Yom, Halam, Sukkah. And then the Mishnah continues. Should we assume that everyone on such a high madrega of Yerushalayim, anyone is on such a high level of learning, is obligated to demonstrate such a level of chumer? Everyone is a tana, has to be machmer? No. Shinasna lada sodagar kalas mikabesa. Tell them not to hold what's the sukkah. You're not supposed to do the midas chasidim. Just because of tzaddik, was just as big as tzaddik as the other tanaim, and he wasn't machmer alasma. The Mishnah means to say, there is a midas chasidim, there is a kiyum, there is a hidah, but you're not machmer. If you have a reason why you don't want to, then you don't have to go out of your way. Sometimes we would recommend that an adam cross of shining. Gemara has many times in the Talmud Bavli. The Shach points out the Yerushalmi never has it. But the Talmud Bavli has quite a few times something is mutter, but an adam cross of shining, an adam cross shouldn't do it because the Talmud Bavli always look up to the Rabbanim, to the Talmid Chacham, that he's going to be meikel on that, because they're going to be 10 madregas lower. That's why the Talmid Chacham sometimes have to exaggerate to be machmer on things that are really mutter, because they know the Balabatim are going to do it. They know the Talmidim are going to be 10 madregas lower than them. So sometimes they have to be machmer on things. The student from Esyon told me that Rabbi Amital is fond of telling over about the Yeridus Aderus. He used to give the following motto, Rabbi Amital from Eretz Yisrael. He used to say that when he learned in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he used to learn Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah says about Nefesh Achma Alatmo, so they thought that's referring to Tzadikim, Yirash HaMayim. They didn't think that it means that. An 18-year-old bachur, he's a Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. So it's Tzadik, that's Tzadik, Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. Yankim Moshe Halab, he was a Rosh Hashiva then, Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. He says the chutzpah, the arrogance of the students today, an 18-year-old boy, learning Mishnah Berurah, says Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. He says, oh, that's me. Every guy thinks that's me, he's Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. Yeah, that's a correct comment. That's a very good comment. But those Bachim who are 18 years old, when Rabbi Amital was growing up, he was 18 years old. And now he's Rabbi Amital, and some of them all became big Rabbanim. So now they are the Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. Now they have to realize that they're no longer the 18-year-old Bachim. That person has to have his head screwed on straight. They should realize at the age of 18, he's not a Bal Nefesh Achma Alatmo. But if he's at the age of 65, and he's a Rosh Hashiva, then he has to be Machma Alatmo. He has to realize that Talmidim are going to be 10 Madregas lower. That's what the Talmud probably always speaks about. Adam Chashim Shayim. The Shach points out that Yerushalmi never has it. The question is, why not? It makes very good sense. We're not sure exactly what that means. The Yerushalmi never says, Yerushalmi never mentions it means it doesn't hold to this idea. Or it never appears in the Yerushalmi, even though it appears quite a few times in the Bavli. Never appears in Yerushalmi, but it doesn't. The Shach writes it Kilu, the Yerushalmi, Kerlik on the Bavli. But it may not necessarily be so, because common sense dictates that there is such a concept. Anyway, here the Mishnah writes about this. Not all the Tanoim had the practice of being machmer. Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, were machmer, because there is a kiyum, there is a midas chasidus, there is a kiyum, and there's no issue of yuharo. And nonetheless, there was another holy tzaddik, a tzaddik who was also a tana, also known to midas chasidus, and he didn't follow this midas chasidus. And this can kash. He didn't feel that he didn't want to do this midah chasidus. Why was it Natala B'mapa? What did he do that for? Natala B'mapa. Rashi writes on the Mishnah, L'natal Yadav. Why didn't he do this midah chasidus? What's going on here? What does it say? He didn't recite Birchas HaMazon after he finished eating. Sounds like he didn't say bracha after, but he did say bracha before. The Rashi says, for sure. Aber lefanav, the Rashi and the Mishnah chavavim beis. Lefanav, the kol dehu bai bracha. Even if you have a mashu, you have to say bracha lefanav. Sherimena, the author of the house, menalam azab, la bracha. For sure you have to say bracha before. That's up here. He didn't recite Birchas HaMazon. Why not? Because the oichol was the bread. I mean, obviously he's talking about bread. If it's potato chips, or even if you have a kibbeitzah, you also don't say birchas hamazon. It means he ate bread. Bachas mikibbeitzah, and it didn't recite, he said Amaisi, but it didn't recite Birchas HaMazon. How come he didn't say Birchas HaMazon? We said Birchas HaMazon after a Kazayis. How come he didn't say? Because it was Tachas Mikabeisa. So Rashi says, yes, that's the Machlekes of Yudah Reb Meir. Rashi quotes in Brachas Memtes, Rashi on Chavos on the base refers it to Brachas of Memtes. Reb Yudah's opinion is, the Achalta B'Savato V'Erachto Achidu Shiyez Bo'Tziyah. The Achalta would mean Kazayis, and Achilat Kusim Kazayis. But now that it says the Achalta B'Savato, it means obviously something more than a Kazayis. So that means Kibbeisa. Now you figure that out. The Achalta B'Savato. What's the ratio between a Kazayis and a Kibbeisa? Machlekes and Shulchan Aruch, Tak and Hilchas Pesach. There are two opinions in Rishonim. Some Rishonim hold that a Kazayis is a Chatzi Beitza, we're talking Beitza Beinanis, and a Zayis Beinani, average size olive. Even the big olives are not so big. We were talking the other day about how big is a Kazayis. The Kazayis, the olives are not so big. The olives are just pretty small. Some of the children come home from yeshivas with these big sheets that you have to eat a piece of matzah that's so big, not to be a Kazayis, that's bigger than any olive big. They don't grow so big. The olives don't grow so big. They sell olives in the jar. We know what olives look like. But maybe it's a small olive. Maybe you need a Zayis Beinani. But the Beinani is not so much bigger than the little olive. These are not baby olives, what we see. Olives are not so gigantic. But there's a machlokes harishonim. What's the ratio between a Zayis Beinani and a Beisa Beinani? The eggs that we buy in the store are large size eggs. The medium size eggs they don't sell in the store. They even sell larger jumbo. The medium size eggs they make mayonnaise from. They use in the food industry. They don't sell it in the store. So you have to measure on a Beis HaBeinonis, not on a Beis HaGedolim. So what's the ratio between a Zayis Beinonis, Beis HaBeinonis, and a Mechati Kos, and Hilchas Matzah, and Hilchas Pesach of two opinions, whether a Kazayis is a Shlish Beis, or a Kazayis is a Chatzi Beis. If one should assume that Kazayis is a Chatzi Beis, then we understand the drasha very well. The Achalto, Ein Achilat Chutzim, the Kazayis would have meant Kazayis. Now that it says another verse, in Sabato, so it's like it said, like the Achalta would have meant Zuka Zayis, but now that it says the Achalta Zisavata, says it twice, the verb is written twice, that means another Achila, the Achalta, another Achila adds up to the Zisavata, so that's the Kibbeisa. That's the Parshim Shem. That's how the Rambam, there's a Maharil, that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Lachatchila Yishirida, two Kizaisim of the Apikoyman. Why should you need two Kizaisim of the Apikoyman? So the Maharil is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There are two opinions in Rishon. What is the institution of Apikoyman all about? And Leil Pesach, I just say, because the Rashbam and the Balei HaTesis hold right. The Rashbam, right, and Avi Tzochen, Achilas Apikoyman is the Ikim Mitzvah Matzah. Because the Zman Amigdor said we need to cook Pesach Al Asova at the end of the meal. And Amasis and Ram Yachlus and the members that we need to matzah in the morrow also at the end of the meal in conjunction with the Korban Pesach. These are the Zmanis that we no longer have the Korban Pesach, but we still have the matzah in the morrow. So the mitzvah is matzah in the morrow, you should fulfill at the end of the meal. I both said, why did we say Brach Al Achilas Matzah in the beginning? No! The Rashbam and Pesach say, that's because we're going to say Amaitzi. You always start off with Amaitzi. You don't want to say Hadama on the soup and Shahakal on the drink and Mizainis on whatever else you're going to. You don't want to say a separate Brach on everything and Ha'etz on everything. Say one bracha hamaisi in the beginning, so it covers that all the courses of the meal. So once you're saying hamaisi, you're not going to say hamaisi on a roll. The chesach, you can't eat crumbs, you have to eat matzah. Once you're eating matzah, you got to say the bracha halachilas matzah, even though you don't have a mind to be yoytzah. You have a mind not to be yoytzah the matzah. You want to fulfill the mitzvah's matzah at the end of the meal. And according to the Rashbam, you don't eat tomorrow and the korach in the beginning of the meal. The Rosh says, according to the Rashbam, you eat tomorrow and the korach at the end of the meal. You should really. Because Pesach is supposed to be at the end of the meal because of Allah Sova. So the Matzah and the Morah should also that come in conjunction with the Korban Pesach. Matzah Morah Hechshera the Pesach that enhances the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is considered a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Dishlei Musa, if you have Korban Pesach for that Matzah Morah, you're going to be ready. But the mitzvah of Dishlei Musa is together with Matzah and the Morah. So that's why the Matzah and the Morah should also be at the end of the meal. So we don't have any Korban Pesach. So the Matzah, the Shei Mitzvah, should be at the end of the meal. The coin for the Rashbam and the Tesis, the Apikoyman is a Kazayis for the sake of being here to the Mitzvah Matzah. That's what the whole secret is all about. The Rosh says, but that's not what it says in our Haggadah. In our Haggadah we have the Maror with the Korach in the beginning of the meal. So that shows that we don't follow the Rashbam sheet. If the Rashbam would be right, that even Mizman Hazeh, the Ikeh Mitzvah Matzah and Maror at the end of the meal, that we would have the Maror and the Korach at the end. We don't do that. So the Rosh says we don't follow the Rashbam. We hold that we ate matzah in the mar and the korach in the beginning of the year today. He said, what's Afikaiman all about? What do you need Afikaiman for? So the Rosh comes up to the idea that Afikaiman is there for the Korban Pesach. This is matzah based on Migdash HaYikayim. They used to eat a Korban Pesach at the end, Allah Sova. What's the reason for Allah Sova? The Tzaisus on the Ayiv himself, Ayiv and Al, of course, you show me. There's a special love in Korban Pesach that doesn't apply to any other Korban. The Etzim of Asij Burubot. He's not allowed to break the bone of the Korban Pesach. A person is poor, so he only gets to eat a little chicken once a week, or once a month, or once a year, so he devours the chicken. So he chews up the bones, and he chews up, he swallows all the marak inside the bones, and eats everything. A person is wealthy, buys a big steak, and he leaves off half the steak, throws that half into the garbage. So if he's only eating up everything, he's got to leave off a lot. So the Torah says on the Korban Pesach, but it's sitting men are breaking out of Libo, but Etzim Lashish Brubo. You shouldn't act like the multi-millionaires that they leave over half of the steak, half the lamb chop. I'm called Etzim, lamb chop. It's a lamb and it has to be broiled. You can't have it, you can't eat it cooked. It has to be after broiled lamb chop. So you have to eat it, the whole thing, you can't leave over, but Etzim Lashish Brubo. You're not allowed to eat like a poor man to chew up all the bones. You're not allowed to break any bones. So the Korban Pesach has to be Koch Shnasa. You can't be past the first birthday. The season of the year when they're born is usually right before Pesach. In fact, sometimes they're so small that they're not even 8 days old. You can't shech the Korban before it's 8 days old. So you have to be careful to make sure that sometimes they're very tiny. And when they're so small, the bones are very soft. So there's a concern that the person might say, you can't take an animal that's over a year old. They're always born in the springtime, beginning of the springtime. That's the season when the babies are born. So you have to be careful not to break the etzim and the korban pesach because they're going to be very soft. So the Yishalmi says, that's why the Chachamim introduced the din derabanan. The Yishalmi says, not a din derabanan, it's a gzer derabanan. You have to eat the korban pesach at the end of the meal, so you're not so soft. If you fasted the whole day long, trying to skirish, and the children are giving all these gematriyos and the Haggadah and they make them hungrier. And then he finally says, he wants to eat, so he gets down to eat and he wants to eat the korban pesach. He may accidentally start chewing into the bone and violate the law of Etzim HaSishbrubo. So as Ixeris Shalayava, the day Shvira Tetzem, the Tanaim introduced this piece of the Rabbanon, not to eat the korban pesach until the end of the meal. Ela pesach nechal ela al hasova. The end of the meal. It's not an achila gato. If you eat achila gato, you're not yosef. You don't eat till you're full, and then start eating korban pesach at the end. You eat a little bit at the beginning of the meal, so you're not starving anymore. Once you're not starving anymore, it's Allah Sova, so there's no longer a hashash that in his haste to satisfy his hunger, to fill his belly, he will chew into the bones of the korban. That's what Tosfos quotes in the name of the Yerushalmi. The Rambam does not write like that at all. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvot and in the Arach HaZokah, both. He writes in the Sefer HaMitzvot and in the Arach HaZokah. He writes that there are three mitzvot achil on Pesach night. There's Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. Which is the most important? Pesach. So the Matzah and the Morah are Hechsherah the Pesach. True, we pass that the Zman is there, Matzah is there, right? It must exist also as an independent mitzvah. But Matzah is also Hechsherah the Pesach. That's the Loshan HaGemara. Matzah is Hechsherah the Pesach. The Matzah and the Morah enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Achilus Korban Pesach. So the Rambam writes, in order to demonstrate, in order that it should be obvious and clear that the Achilas HaPesach is the Iker, so that's why we eat. He doesn't say that's why we eat the Korban Pesach al HaTzovah. The Rambam says that's why we eat the Korban Pesach kidei lizboa mimenu. We eat more Korban Pesach. We eat more volume, more food from the Korban Pesach than we eat from the Matzah and the Morah. Matzah is a kezayit, Morah kezayit. Korban Pesach we eat kidei lizboa mimenu. So what does that mean? So the Maharil writes that you should eat two kizaisim of the Afikoyim and Zechel of Pesach. That is Mar Amikdash, so you always used to eat two kizaisim. So the Taz says, we never heard of that.
What is he talking about? Where does it say that he eats two kazaisim? The Mishnah says he eats one kazais, and Yayse. It doesn't say that he eats two kazaisim. The Bataz writes that we know that the Sefer Maharil was written by a Talmud. The Chuvat Maharil were written by the Maharil, but the Drushas Maharil, what they call Drushas, the Sefer Maharil starts listening as Stephen Thomas off. It goes on all the different Yamim Tevim, which Slichas and which Kinas and which Tepiyusim you say, what all of Minhagim are and how you fulfill all the mitzvahs. And Maharil, that's always quoted in Arachayim. So that Maharil was written by Talmud of the Maharil, and a lot of times he made a mistake. So the Tzad says this is clearly a mistake. Tzad and the Maharil on both sides a mistake. That it is in the Maharil, it says he should eat two kizaitim, but not Zechalikov and Pesach, that he ate two kizaitim, that's unheard of. He says it probably said, the Talmud didn't write it over straight. He probably said Zechalikov Pesach and Zechalikov Chagigah. That was Mansha, they said, Amigdash Eikan, they used to eat first Chagigah Shabba Asa, and afterwards they would eat a kizait from the Chagigah Shabba Asa, and then he'd eat a kizait from the Korban Pesach. But they would eat two kizaitim up to the Sarkov Bonner. So that's what probably the Maharil said. So the latest Torah right now, the Maharil is just quoting from the Rambam. The Rambam says the Seirish like that. A lot of things in the Maharil that for generations they thought that this moron of a student must have written over wrong. Maharil would never have said such a stupid thing. Then the later generation said, no, it's a Shuvat HaKadim, it's a Rambam, it's a Rius, it's a Gemara, it's a Yirsa, it's a whatever. They said he wrote it over right. The Hill also, Rabbi Yerucham Perlba points out. The Maharil is just quoting what it says in the Rambam. The Rambam is the Seirish. That to demonstrate, the Rambam writes it in the Sefer HaMitzvah more explicitly than the Yad HaZoka. If you read the Sefer HaMitzvah, then you look in the Yad HaZoka. That was Korban Pesach, then you understand better what the Rambam says there. That he took his Kizaisim. He eat a Kizaisim. He took his Kizaisim. The Rambam holds the Kizaisim as two Kizaisim. To demonstrate that the Iker Mitzvah, Achilas HaLaila, is the Korban Pesach, and the Matzah and the Morah are both subservient. They're both kapuf, they're both secondary. The Korban Pesach, they're only Hechshere the Pisma. The Korban Pesach is the Iker Mitzvah, and the Matzah and the Mara are Hechshere the Pisma. So that's the Pashup Shat in the Drosha here. You read the Taisha doesn't hold like I just said. The Pashup Shat in the Drosha, we'll read the Taisha in it. Pashup Shat is like this. Reb Meir, the other Tana says, Yachalta Zu Kazayis. Eat a Kazayis. Then what does it say to Savata? So Reb Meir says, Savata Zu Shtiyah. So the only time you're mechuyev to bench is if you had a kazayis bread and you had a drink. If you only had the bread and you had no drink, so that's a lack of tzedia, and then you only chayev to bench for the rabban. That's Rav Meir's opinion. And Rav Yudah disagrees and he says, no, v'achalta zu kazayis, the savata means something extra, in addition means another kazayis. So not a kazayis and a kazayis, it's a kedesa. V'achalta zu kazayis would have meant a kazayis of bread, but savata zu kedesa means you eat another kazayis. The Pashas says that we pass like neither of these Tanoim. Pashas says we pass like the third opinion. The Achalta would have meant Kazayit, but now that it says the Savata, I mean, you have to eat Kadei Tzviya. It doesn't help that you drink a cup of coffee together with the tiny little Kazayit. Kazayit, the bread, is very little. If you were starving, if you were very, very hungry before, you'd still be very, very hungry after also. It's not really going to help too much, a little Kazayit of bread. So Rav Yudah's opinion is if you have a kazayis of bread, you chayv to bench for another. Rav Meir's opinion is if you have a kazayis of bread and a drink, you chayv to bench. And we assume in Shulchan Aruch like neither. We paskin you have to have the achalta minimum of a kazayis of bread, but the savata, if he's a young growing person and he needs much more than that, then there's no obligation to bench for another until he ate so much that it's kadesh meal. Until he's really full, doesn't have to overeat. In America, most people overeat. But you have to eat kedei tzviya to be chayv to bench min atar. Even if you had a kebetz of bread with a drink, the pashta says you wouldn't be chayv to bench min atar. If the person still feels hungry, he's not satisfied yet. Those are the three opinions. And Shulchan Aruch says, when Mechoshesh for Rav Meir's opinion, Mechoshesh for Rav Meir's opinion says the following. If you have three people who are benching Mizum and a Medina and a Gemara, the one who benches Mizum says the whole benching and the others just seems to run and they don't bench along with him. So you should make sure that the one who's benching the Zulman is really Mechuyev, is at least as Mechuyev as the others, or more Mechuyev than the others. So let's say one ate Kedei Tzviya and the other one didn't eat Kedei Tzviya. One had a whole big sandwich and the other one had a tiny little piece of bread and he's still starving. So the one who has a tiny piece of bread, he's starving, is only Mechuyev to bench from the Rabbanu. The one who had Kedei Tzviya is Mechuyev to bench from out there. So if you want to bench the Zulman, the one who ate Kedei Tzviya, he should bench to be much to the others, not the one who had the kazayis bench. So what if you had two people, each one had the same size meal, each one had an elaborate sandwich,
Each one had two sandwiches, or each one only had a tiny little design to bread. Either they're both starving or they're both very full. One had a cup to drink, and one didn't have a cup of drink. So according to Rav Meir's opinion, the one who had a drink is mechuyav to bench, and the one who didn't have a drink is mechuyav to bench, and the Rabbah. So then you should have the one who had the drink, he should be the one to bench Mezumin, because he's more mechuyav than the other. He's mechuyav Nederais, and the other one is mechuyav to Rabbah. So the Rambam quotes this opinion of Rav Meir to be choshish for it l'chumr, that if you have three people are benching Mezumin, and one of them had a drink and the others didn't, so the one who had the drink, maybe he's mechuyav to bench Menatera. So he should be the winner, he should be the lucky winner to bench Mezumin. Because there's one opinion of Rameh, maybe we pass like Rameh, but Mikra Adin, we don't pass like Rameh. Mikra Adin, we pass him not like Rav Yudah, not like Rameh, we pass him half of the Sabbath to Kedei Tzviya. Not another Kazayas that adds up to a Kedeis and he's still starving. And not a Kazayas with a cup of tea. A cup of tea doesn't make it the Sabbath. The Sabbath means Imam Shayt Kedei Tzviya. Those are the three sheets. So Nachum, let's see the story. They gave Rav Tzadik bread, oichel, not some oichel, he gave him bread, tachas mikibeisa. So first of all, he ate a chutz l'sukkah, he didn't observe the midas chassidus, despite the fact that he was a tana, and Rav Tzadik was known as a holy tzadik. Rav Tzadik was the one who was fasting 40 years that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be destroyed, no. Rav Tzadik was usually known for his tzidkus, not for his tzadkus. They never called him an halacha, do they? I don't remember. They called Rav Tzadik a midas chassidus. And he usually quotes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Mazakir saying halakha. So here it's the reverse. You have a different picture here. Rabbi Yechon and Mazakir, Rabbi Gamliel were the tzaddikim all of a sudden. They had the chumra. The midas chassidus, they ate the achilas haroyah and the sukkah. And there's no next kiyuara. They were lomdei tamir chacham. No. And the holy tzaddik Rabbi Tzadik who fasted 40 tanesim, 40 years tanesim that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be destroyed. He's always fasting tanesim and always midas chassidus and davening and everything. He's not so noted for his halachas. He's the one who's not machmer over here. So the Gemara says it's not a problem. You're not mechuyav to be machmer over here. So number one, achal chutz l'sukkah, no problem. Number two, v'lavir achacharav, he held like the shita that we don't pass him like. We pass him once you eat a kazayis, you have to bench midirabbanah. He didn't hold like that. He didn't hold from that midirabbanah. He held you have to eat v'chal for the sabbat, you have to have a kebeitza. Achilles yeh book kebeitza via ba'ainu kebeitza. Number three, Rashi says, "Vula birach achara ba'avul afonach kein birach." Why? Because the kol duchum avachim, even if you eat a tiny little piece less than a kezayis, you also say habaitza. Because after lahanas medala mazeh b'loy bracha. The Rishonim quote the shikas hara'o is that what Rashi said is correct. Yes, after lahanas medala mazeh b'loy bracha, you don't need a shear. You only need a shear for bracha achreina. You don't need a shear for bracha rishayna because of asin lahanis medal mazeb loy bracha, but it's not going to be amaisi. In order to say amaisi, you have to have the chashivas. Special takonas bracha amaisi. The Mishnah says nikra din. You should really say bar priva dhamma on bread. Or you should say bar minim zainit maybe on bread. But not amaisi. Amaisi lachmanas are special takonas chachamim. And only if it has the status of pas. If it's pas above the kishin and it doesn't reach that madrega pas. The only time is Zainus, unless you kaber suda, unless you eat so much cake that you kaber suda, then it becomes amaisi. So what if a person is eating bread less than a kazayis? But the Rav says, you say shahakul, less than a kazayis doesn't have the chashivas of a habaisi, you say shahakul. The tesis in the long tesis spells it out. No! Rashi, Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass them like the Rav. They don't even, I don't even know if they quote, I think they quote the Rav and they say that we reject it. We don't pass them. So Tate's going to point it out explicitly. Rashi, it's not so explicit. Rashi writes, I will afon him called the boy bracha. He doesn't say what bracha. Tate's is going to point it out explicitly. The fun of you say hamaitz even on less than a kazai. The Feirish against this Rabban Alevi. Rabban Alevi wrote a commentary on the Rif of bracha, which is printed in the Mishnah Berurah, quotes it all the time. The Chidushi Hara'o. So the Rishonim here, they're not all like that Ra'or. Tosfos explains within Rashi that the Bracha Sholof Manahu is required, the regular Bracha Sholof Manahu. You don't say less than a Gezayis, you just say the Bracha HaKolel HaShahakol to resolve the issue of Otam L'Hanis Menor L'Mazeb L'Oi Bracha. No, you say the Bracha HaMefuretes, as the Hashivas of HaMaiti also. So everything we understand, except for the Tol of the Mapa, that we didn't do yet. He ate a chutz l'sukkah, we understand. He didn't say the bracha l'achreha. He ate a chutz l'sukkah, we understand, and we pass him like that. We understand, and we pass him like that. Because bachas mikateisa, lo boi sukkah. Rabbi Yochanan, we understand that, and we don't pass him like that, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass him that he benched the Rabbanan on the Kazayis, and he didn't say the Bracha L'Acharei, he did say the Bracha L'Fanaha. We say Yad Bracha L'Fanaha, and we say Hamaisi also, and that's Tam Shach. We say, what does it mean, the Tal of the Mappa? What is that all about? We didn't do that yet. The Rashi explains, what it means is you don't need Netilas Yadayim. Usually when you eat bread, there are three things that go together. Whatever has the status of bread requires Netilas Yadayim, requires a bracha amoisin. If you have enough of it, you have to say Berachas Amoisin. If it's cake, pasta, barbecue, some of spaghetti or something like that, a lakshul kugel, so you don't need Netilas Yadayim. You don't say amoisin, you say bare minimum yadayim. And even if you ate enough of it, you don't say Berachas Amoisin, you say Alamichil Alakhatkola. So here, he ate bread, which you say Hamoitziyad. You don't say Birchas Hamoitzi because he holds like Rav Yehuda and you have to eat Kebetza. But what's with the Netilas Yadayim? The Rashi says, "Well, Laboy Netilas Yadayim." Why? Because Shabbat Pachas Mikebetza Laboy Netilas Yadayim. Whenever you eat less than a Kebetza, you don't have to wash Netilas Yadayim. Matiton, what is that based on? It is totally different because you're not going to bench Birchas Hamazon at the end. That's what it depends on. You only have to do the Tilas Yadayim on such bread that you're going to bench Birchas Hamazon. So since you're like a beauty that you got to have a Kadesa, it's totally not the right shot. Why is Labor in the Tilas Yadayim? Because Shabbat and Rapsodic is of the opinion that Prophets, you can base the Labor in the Tilas Yadayim. Why not? Why do you ever need Netilas Yadayim? What is Netilas Yadayim all about? So the Tosafos writes in Kol Habos, the beginning of Kol Habos is the whole study of Netilas Yadayim. There's a Masechet Yadayim for those that are interested in learning Mishnayos. But for those Tachyani people who never learned the Mishnayos, they just learned the Gemara, so they know the Hilchos Netilas Yadayim on the beginning of Perek Kol Habos, the end of Chulin. The Rosh has a long Arichas there. The guy can learn the Mishnah, so you don't get the whole picture from the Gemara. So there are different reasons why the Chachamim feel the diamond for bread is only the Rabban, it's not a Dinman Atzer. A remez when the Tilas Yadayim is in the Gemara in the beginning of Kalabasa quotes a remez when the Tilas Yadayim in Atzer, so it says the Yod of Lo Shata Pabayim. The beginning of Kalabasa, the Gemara quotes one time it says that the Minayim and the Tilas Yadayim in Atar, where is there a remez? The Chachamim invented something mamish from thin air, they made a takonah, there's such a thing, the Yadayim Atamim, you wash your hands become Torah. On the level of the right, it doesn't exist such a thing. Either the whole body is Tamim, the whole body is Torah, there is no such thing. The part of the body is Tamim, the rest of the body is Torah. Or the whole body is Tamim, then you wash your hands and you make the hands Torah. Where did that come from? There is no such thing. You can't dip your hands in a mikveh and the hands will become Torah and the rest of the body will remain Torah. You can't be Mitzayel HaHatzayim. The whole body has to be submerged in the mikveh. Where do you get such an idea? The hands are Torah and you wash your hands. So there's a mocker, the pasuk says, V'yodav lo shodav pamayim. That's a shver pasuk. The truth of the mikveh is very difficult. It doesn't mean it. It means it wasn't table in the mikveh. It doesn't mean V'yodav lo shodav pamayim. But it's such a strong mashmoyis. It sounds from the pasuk as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is encouraging us, Kindalach. Some time in the distant future, make a takana de rabbanon of Netilas Yadayim. It sounds like he's encouraging the Tanoim. The author of the Torah wrote the Torah in such a way that it should sound like he's encouraging the Tanoim and the later generations to make a takana de rabbanon. That's the mocker, that's the remez of Netilas Yadayim in the Torah, and that's possibly the other Losh Adamamai. But what was the reason for Netilas Yadayim? Why did the Chachamim institute? So there's several reasons. Now, one reason is Mishum Nikiyus. Like he says, the Goyim also wash their hands with soap before they sit down to eat bread. A nice way. So, some Taisa says on that daf, Mishum Nikiyus, at the beginning of Kalabas, for cleanliness, for reasons of hygienic reasons. That's one time. Yes, so does that make a difference whether the bread is Kebetza or less than a Kebetza? It'll be a problem of a Mashu also. His hands are full of germ, and he's going to eat the food without washing until tonight. It shouldn't make a difference whether he's eating kibbeitz or pachas mikibbeitz. Another reason is mishum srach truma. A kohen who wants to eat any truma, he wants to eat potatoes of truma. The rabbanon, and I said there is no such thing as potatoes of truma. He wants to eat a piece of bread that's truma. He wants to drink wine of truma. Whatever he wants to eat, he has to make sure that he's tahor. If he's tummy, he's not allowed to eat truma. He has to be tovel in the mikveh. If he's tummy, he has to be tovel in the mikveh and have higher shemesh. And if he's tovel at night, he has to wait till tomorrow is higher shemesh. Higher shemesh always means you have to wait till sefer kachavim following the time that you were tovel in the mikveh. Yeah, he could have gone to mikveh last week. If he wait a week later, you have to wait higher shemesh till sefer kachavim following the time that you were tovel in the mikveh. That's the first mishnah in brachas. Yishar shakadim nechnasim lechol b'chumatim. The sefer kachavim following the time that you're tovel in the mikveh. So a kohen who is tummy is not allowed to eat truma, and until he's tovel in the mikveh, he has harav shemesh. So the chachamim at one time in the ancient past introduced that everybody should be neitel yadayim. They made a takana all the kohanim should do the tefillah yadayim before they eat truma to remind them as they're washing the tefillah yadayim. That should remind them that in case they're tummy, that when the tefillah yadayim is not enough, they got to go to mikveh. And Mishum Shrach Truma, as Igvera Otu eating Truma Bitumas Aguf, the Kohen Tomei will be eating Truma Bitumas Aguf. They added on anybody who is eating bread, even Levim or Yisraelim who are eating bread, everybody should watch from Tillis Yadayim to ingrain the concept of Tahara and Klal Yisrael, that everybody should realize that sometimes you have to be Mitar your body in advance to. I have to wash until today before I eat a tuna fish sandwich to remind the Kohanim that if they're tummy, they have to be tovel in the mikveh. All as a harchoke, all mishum srach truma. All because the Kohanim are not allowed to eat the truma, the truma tzaguf. That's the second reason. If that's the reason, also it doesn't make a difference whether it's kibbeit or pavit mikibbeit. No, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Tefila to be metahir is either the whole body or nothing at all. The kior, they were already tohar. Any kohen who was tummy had to be tohar before and have higher of shemesh. Otherwise, he can't even get the first base. He can't even get into the azar. If he gets into the azar, he's already tohar. That's a special din. The kior is when he already is tohar. He already had to be tohar from before. Also could be rooted, yeah, it means that could also be the source in the Tzivotena. Could have been. I don't know why didn't they quote that next one, the Tana. In the beginning of Salabat, they quote this, Yad of Lashatav Bamayim. Good question, why not say that they pattern the Tzivot Yadayim for bread after they're washing from the Kiyah? I don't know. Washing from the Kiyah is not for the sake of removing Tumah. The Tzivot Yadayim for bread has something to do with Tumah Vitara. It's a takana the rabbanah has to do with tumah v'tahara. So finally, that's why they chose this pasuk, the yod of loshata b'mayim by the zav, because that's talking about tumah v'tahara. So there are various reasons why they were mistaken the tilas yadayim l'tahara. One is mishum niki is hygienic reasons. That's what Taisus points out. Taisus shows that that's shocking gemara called abrata. The second is mishum srach truma. And the third apparently has already a shaitas with the kibbeitza and the pachas mikibbeitza. The third is that earthling pachas mikibbeitza and mekabel tuma are not mekami acherim. Earthling pachas mikibbeitza is mekabel tuma, but it's not mekami acherim. So that's a big, major machloekas erishan in that halacha, that pachas mikibbeitza, oichel is mekabel tuma. Avleinu Matami Achem, how come there's a split? That Mekabel Tumah Zayin, is that Menater, is that Medirabara? The Rashi writes the common Matami that that's a Din Menater. They're both Menater. Oichel Prophets Mekabes Mekabel Tumah is dead Din Menater. And if you have Oichel Yaisi Mekabes, that was Mekabel Tumah. Matami Achem, that's a Din Menater. Everything is Menater. And the Rabbi Natar, Mekama Matami, disagrees by Rishas with Rashi. He has a whole speckled 10 riots that Rashi is wrong. A lot of riots, Mekamoris, Mekaris, Trinim. He says it's not true. On the level of the right, I have a prophet in the Kibbeitz, I feel a lot of Kabbal Tumah. In order to be Mekabbal Tumah, you have to have Kibbeitz. Then with the Rabbanah, they made a Chumah, the Rechel prophet in Kibbeitz is Mekabbal Tumah with the Rabbanah. But they never went so far with the Chumah that it's even Mekabbal Acher. So that's compromise. That Rechel prophet in Kibbeitz, Mekabbal Tumah, made a Mekabbal Acher, that's only with the Rabbanah. But I tell it's not even Mekabbal Tumah. According to this Rabbi Natami, has a lot of rayas that that's so. This Rabbi Natami appears in quite a few Mishnayos. The main Tosfos is in Chulin, I think, in the end of the second paragraph in Chulin, a long Tosfos, a long Chidushi Haran, where he quotes all the rayas of the Rabbi Natami. In Nazir and in Tzachim and other Mishnayos, they just mention the Rabbi Natami in testing, that he disagrees with Rashi. But in the end of the second paragraph in Chulin, there's a long arichas in the Tosfos and the Chidushi Haran, where he really brings all of his heavy artillery to disagree with Rashi Shita to demonstrate that Tachas and Kibbeis is only the Kabbalah and the Rabbah. So if getting back over here, maybe that's what's going on over here. By Truman, they made a din with the Rabbah on that Sam Yadai Mashmir thing. Sam Yadai means, I don't think I'm Tomei. But from the last time I was table in the mikvah, I went to mikvah in the morning before Shabbos. The guy woke up and he goes to the mikvah and he goes to Davin Shabbos. Now, since he's Davin Shabbos till now, he doesn't remember coming in contact with any dead mice in the street, with any dead rats or anything, with any cholad vakuvah sovlim in and nishman ishrotzim. He didn't touch any dead bodies or anything like that. He doesn't think he was coming. He's Bechezka Sahara. But he wasn't the Shama Yoda of the Sahara. So the hands are considered Stam Yadayim. The Stam Yadayim, the Medic, Zerim, the Rabban, and Stam Yadayim have a level of Tumah like a Shani. And a Shani is also Shlishi the Truman. So if I'll touch the Truman with Stam Yadayim, I'll pass over the Truman. And in Atayrah, Oichlim is only the Kabbal Tumah, but it has the Kibbeitza. That's less than the Kibbeitza. It's not a Kabbal Tumah. True, the Rabban of the Rechlam on the Kabbal Tumah and Tachas Mikabesa, but on the level of the Raisa, the Rabbi Natam has all these rayas to demonstrate that the Tachas Mikabesa is not even the Kabbal Tumah at all on the level of the Raisa. It's not even the Tameh Achen that's Taka the Dis. Tachas Mikabesa is not the Tameh Achen, but it's not even the Kabbal Tumah at all on the level of the Raisa. So perhaps that's the pshat over here. That one of the concerns, one of the motivations to institute this din de rabbanon of the tilak yadayim, it's clearly only a din de rabbanon, it's not a din de raisa. One of the reasons that prompted the tanoim to institute the tilak yadayim for bread, one of it mishum nikir and one of it mishum srach truma. But what do you mean srach truma? The one concern of srach truma is to remind the kohen that he's tamei. If he's tamei, he should be careful in the mikvah. That's one concern. But another concern is, forget about if he's tamei. His hands are tamei. Stam yadayim ashniyah thing. And the sheni is also shlishi the truma. So if yadayim ashniyah, stam yadayim ashniyah, and he's going to touch the truma, he'll pass away. And that din that sheni is also shlishi the truma, and that third will only apply if you have a kibbeitza. Less than a kibbeitza won't apply. So maybe that's what Rashi means over here, that if you're eating bread, tachas, mikibbeitza, laboy, nesilas yadayim. That's what it sounds like in Rashi. Less than a kibbeitza doesn't need nesilas yadayim at all. So why was Natala the Mapo? That's what Rashi says. It doesn't mean that all of Yishanim agree with Rashi. That's what Rashi says. Rashi Rashi in most places. Some places Rashi backed out. There are some places where Rashi himself realized that it's not tenable. But most of the time Rashi works on the assumption that Tachas and Kibbeitza is the Kabbalah Tumah Menaterah. Yeah. I don't know how Rachel Meis, do we follow this? That Tachas and Kibbeitza are going to Tilus Yadayim at all? They don't have to do it in Tilus Yadayim at all. The Mishnah Berurah points out by Karpas. Then we dip karpas into salt water, and then we eat it, and they recommend in the Shulchan Aruch you should eat less than a kazayis. There's a whole reason why. So in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend a person, based on a tesis and avitzah, first you should eat less than a kazayis. So why does he have to wash in his hands if he's eating less than a kazayis? See, even if he's eating less than a kazayis, you gotta wash. That's double shit tevul of the mashke. This is bread. Maybe they're two different things. Maybe only on double shit tevul of the mashke you have to wash even less than a kazayis. And on bread you have to only wash if eating a kibbeitza. The question? Okay, but that's what Rashi says. Tachas mikibbeitza, rapsodic opinion is laban until today. So we have already quite a few chidushim. So why was Natala b'mapa? What do you do that for? So Rashi says, no, that's for non-halachic reasons. That was Mishum Nikir. The Talib Amabarak is the Mishum Nikiyim. But why the Talib Amabarak? Why didn't he wash until the Sedayim? Since the Halacha says you don't have to wash until the Sedayim if eating less than a Kedayim. Because his hands were all dirty. He didn't want to touch the food with dirty hands. So that's why he took him up. Why didn't he wash his hands? It's not necessary. So it was a pain in the neck. Why should he use up the water? We have a faucet. So wash your hands. So what's the problem? They didn't have any faucets. They had a big bucket of water. So whatever water they're going to use to wash their hands, they're going to have less water for drinking purposes. So he would rather not use up the water. So that's why Nisola B'mapo, Mishum Nikiyu. That's what Rashi writes. Yeah. What does Tosha say? The Talib Amapa Tirsum Shum Nikiyus. His hands were dirty, so he didn't want to touch with his contaminated hands. They're full of germs. He didn't want to touch the food. So for hygienic purposes, the Talib Amapa. So Tosha says, the Bechinam Pirish King. What does he have to say? That the holy Tzaddik, the Tzaddik had dirty hands all day long. The text says, "Say better pshat." Rav Tzadi Kain Hayom, as it says in Brachas, as it says in Chorus, and many of the Kohanim in the days of the Tanaim, and even in the earlier days of the Amoraim, Hayahu Hayoichel Al Taras Hatshuma. They used to have a practice to eat chulin, making believe as if the chulin would be truma. Kohanim especially used to have that, because when they're eating truma, they have to be careful some of the time. When they eat chulin, they don't have to, so they'll be used to eating chulin, so they'll treat the truma the same as the chulin. So many Kohanim had the practice to eat chulin al taras al truma. Others had the practice to eat chulin al taras al kodesh. Kodesh is even more common than truma. The Pesach says, maybe that's why Rav Tzadik was Nisal of the Mapo. Because he wanted to eat the chulin al taras al truma, yadayim hashniyas, saying that he's going to touch the bread. If the bread would have been truma, yadayim hashniyas, would have possible that even though the bread was not truma, he was acting as if it were truma, as a drill, as a practice. That's called eating chulin al taras al truma, making believe that it's truma. That's what Tyson suggests. Okay, that's on the Natalah B'mapa. When the Natalah B'mapa was only an 8 to 7 Mishim Nikiyas, the Natalah B'mapa was for halakhic concerns. It was because he was in the practice of eating, of being machmet, eat kulin, al taras atrum. And Tosfos continues on the theme that Rashi did discuss a little more. V'lefir ha'acharos, he didn't recite this chambos, tabla kabir, the test loshe shof, the dosh, v'chata, 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 Rameh Palik, Rashi doesn't quote the rest. Tyson says, Rameh disagrees with Yama, and the Rachim because Zai. Rameh says, Vechaltuzu Achila, Vesavotuzu Shtiyam. How do you pass in Rameh Rav Yudah? When you have a machlech, it's Rameh Rav Yudah. Usually Rameh Rav Yudah, Halachik Rav Yudah. Usually Rameh loses. Usually Rameh Rav Yudah, Halachik Rav Yudah. So you need to say that Halach is the only bench to eat a kibetza of bread. Unheard of. So he says, Mir da Halach is Kabbalah Sei. Who's Kabbalah Sei? Like whom? Like whom? Like Rav Meir. Like Rav Meir, not like Rav Yudah. You don't pass in the only bench if you eat kibetza. They say Rav Meir, Palik, Venir, Dalach, and Kavah said the dinner is like Rav Meir, like the last time that we said. How do you know? As it says the case in the Rokham, Aram Chiyam Baram, Ani Rishi, Radech, Shachal, Zayis, Maliyah, Odir, Chalap, Tchila, Basso. The Brach on an olive is a question. What Brach do you say if you eat olive? You say Allah, Eitz, Apiho, Eitz. And it's not Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is their right. What about the Bracha HaKhoina on the Shivas HaMinim? The Pasuk says in, where is it in Parshas? Hekev? Where is it saying? Eretz, Chit HaSor, V'Gevet HaTein HaBrim, and Eretz Reishem, and Eretz HaShalot, and Miskenes, and Tachal Balechem, and Tzabal, and Tachal Balechem, 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 and Eretz Hashalot is Mitzkenes Tochal Bo Lechem Yachalta V'Tavot HaVirachta Yot Hashem HaKiyah goes on Lechem. What about the previous passage? The Yachalta V'Tavot HaVirachta refers back, obviously, the Rav Shalom was promising us the land of Eretz Chit HaSor Get and Tein V'Rim and Eretz Yishem HaDosh. We should eat it, but we should just look at it. What halal do you get from looking at it? You should eat the olive. Those who enjoy eating olive. Jirito, so the Shaila is, the Achalta goes on that. What about the Achalta, the Surah, the Brach, the whole phrase goes also? Is there an obligation in our Torah to recite Allah Eitz, Bapiho Eitz?
After din deraita, you have to recite the brocha achrayna after all the shiras aminim or not. So that's a machloikis in the Rishayim. Rashba, Shlosh Shachlu has that machloikis. Because the Gemara says, Eret Hiktik Leinyan. Now that it says, Eret Chita Sar Begeben Atein Aminim Eret Hashem in the Drash, Eret Hashalot Miskenes Sachal Balachim. So that Eret Hashalot Miskenes at 60 Kinyan. So when it says, Achal Pesonat Abirachto, it only goes back on Lechem. It doesn't go back on everything in the previous pasuk. How do you know? Because then you would have to say Gimel Brachas. You have to say Azonat Akol, and Noy Delecho, and Rachain, and Atayi Vameitin. You have to have the whole Tircham Zirchus HaMavim. But the Rashba has two opinions, correct Eretz Yitzchak Rinyan, that you don't require Gimel Brachas Deraisa on the Shivas Aminim. But you say that Yitzchak Rinyan Nikol Vachol, so you don't have to say Bracha Achayin at all, the whole Allah Agepin, the whole Allah Eich, the whole Allah Allah, the whole thing is done with the Rabban. May ain't Shalosh is done with the Rabban. Or should you say no? May ain't Shalosh Allah Yisafi Reitzin Zeraisa. Eretz Yitzchak Rinyan, when it says Eretz Shalosh is Kenneth Rechal Balachim, that's a big sap semicolon. So if you know that the requirements for three separate brachas only goes on bread, Eretz Shalosh is Kenneth Rechal Balachim doesn't refer back to Gimel brachas, don't refer back to the previous passage, but Uverachdor Hashem Alpecha does refer back, you have to say, May ain't Shalosh. But that's the machlokes in the Rishon. Some Rishonim hold that it is derait. Whether it's derait or derabbanon, we assume that it's called the Tikkun Rabbanon. It's called the Tikkun Rabbanon, can't derait the Tikkun. Even if you should assume that the bracha achrayin on olam is only derabbanon, but it was tatted after something derait. So how much of a volume of olives do you have to eat, or olives, or what are the others, pomegranates, or dates, or figs, how much of that do you have to eat in order to be obligated to recite the bracha achrayin? So the Gemara says, Kazayis. Ani ro'isi is Rabbi Yechanan, the student of Rabbi Yechanan. Says, I once saw Rabbi Yechanan, Shachal Kazayis, Maliach Udir Achal of Tchila Vasov. Says, Rabbi Yechanan in the beginning, even though it was Maliach, one could argue the point if it's a pickled olive that it was soaking in the jaws, and maybe I should say Kavish Kibavusho, and maybe on cooked olives I should say Shachal. Maybe you only say ho'eitan an olive that's not cooked, that's raw, the way it grew on the tree. Maybe once you cook the olive, then once you pickle it in a jar, maybe since it's soaking in a jar, kovish to mevushel, so on an olive that's mevushel, it's not Rabbi Yechanan. So he says, no, ani re'iti is Rabbi Yechanan. I was once there. He was a student of Rabbi Yechanan. And Eretz Yisrael, achol zayis maliach, he ate a pickled olive, v'bir chala tchila v'asof. He said, the bracha shalafaneho, v'rpi ho'eit, not zahakol. And he said the bracha shalach lecha lo eitz al pihoi. He said that you see from the Gemara there is driving at one thing and Tosfos is driving at a different thing. The Gemara quotes this to prove that on a zayis maliach it retains its status, even though it's a salted olive or a pickled olive, it retains the status. You don't say that it's ishtani ligriyuto, and I treat it like a synthetic food. If it's a synthetic food like shafuri or something, so then shahakol. And the burn the fresh is a minig at the end. Nikra din, you don't say burn the fresh is a minig that develops in the later year. So he wouldn't have said a bracha tchila vasof. Tchila vasof means he said barfi hoit tchila, and he said alei sopi hoit in the year. But the Gemara, in the context of the Gemara, Lama Chesam basically quotes this story to demonstrate that on salted olives, on pickled olives that are in a jar that are soaking, it's not ishtani ligri yusa. It doesn't change its status, it retains the status of a fruit. And it's still going to be Barbiyat, and it's still going to be Aloyat Barbiyat, the Bracha Achrayna. That's the context of the Gemara. Tosfos quotes that Gemara to prove a different point, that the Shia for Bracha Achrayna is Kazayis. And we're in the world that they get Kazayis, so it must be that that's the Shia for bread. They're called the Tikkun Rabban, came the right to Tikkun. Either the Bracha Achrayna on olives is the right there, possibly according to the Rashba, and Brachas, that Eretz Yitzchak Rinyan only means that you don't say Gimel Brachas on olives and on dates and on figs and on pomegranates. But you do say a bracha achrayna. Tosfos probably holds that alayis is only the rabbanon. But they're driving at called the tikkun rabbanon. Okay, they're right to tikkun. Then they have another raya. The taka is talking about bread. The first raya is talking about olives. So that's a raya by mashal. They assume that the shir kazayis by olives, the bracha achrayna probably comes from the shir kazayis. The bracha achrayna for bread. The other gemara is perished by bread. The other amin perished by shushaklu. Amar chay b'amar b'yechal yolam and emot yiram dechabat yishachol kazayis dovin. I can only bench me zuma to the emot to the other if I had a kazayis of bread. If I have less than a kazayis of bread, I can't.
Why Kezayis play a role? The Tesis assumes because Kezayis is the shear to be obligated to bench. Less than the Kezayis you don't bench, more than the Kezayis you do bench. One could have interpreted that Gemara differently. When you get to the bottom line in Tesis, they're going to give a different shot. The very last line of Tesis is going to give a different shot. Why the shear with Kezayis? But at this point, they thought the reason why the shear Achiyach or Kezayis Dogon was Kezayis is the shear to be Mechuyev to bench, and it's a right that we don't pass for like Rav Yudah. Unusual. Usually Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, Lach, Rav Yudah. Usually whenever Rav Meir disagrees with his contemporaries, Rav Meir loses, and here he doesn't lose. Here we do pass him like Rav Meir. Chaynam Ravuna bar Yehudim Mishmei Dirab. Yeah. That I'm a Kezayis, he recites the Bracha Chaim. That person raises a new question. What if I have, let's say, a little tiny grape, and the grape is tinier than an olive, but I ate up the whole grape? The whole barrier. I ate the whole unit. Or let's say I have a tangerine, a small tangerine. I eat one section of the tangerine that's completely enclosed with a, what do you call it? With a shell, with a peel. It doesn't have the big shell, the big orange shell, but it has the membrane around that unit. And then that one unit of the tangerine is smaller than a kezayis. Would you say a bracha achrayin on it? It's a double shalit. That's a new topic now. On the assumption that you need a kezayis in order to recite the bracha achrayin, what if you ate a barrier? But okay, Yishami Mashma, did the barrier have been a kezayis? I feel it prayed acha shalona, even one whole unit of an oven, a grape, one entire grape, a prayed acha shalimon. A pomegranate has units within it. That eat a full unit of the pomegranate. That's not the whole pomegranate. Eat a whole prayed achas shavim on tuna bracha lofanahu uli achrer. Why does it say b'halchi yitz b'shalom reish take his to mevachim? Rabbi Yechanan nasa v'zei to bracha lofanahu lachim. Haber apriya barabba mistakot day. Drama lay Rabbi Yechanan. Apriya barabba was spearing at him. Apriya was from Bavlo. Rabbi Yechanan was from Eretz. So he said, hey, Bavlo, what are you staring at me? You never saw an Israeli before. You never saw a Sabra. What's the problem? Bavlo, Mata Mistakovi. What's the problem? You never heard of Aloheis, Afihoi? He said, Bartihoi. Then he finished eating. He said, Aloheis. So what's the problem? He's late luck. You never heard of the din. Kosho Mishiva Tamin and Tom Bokla Ponovi Akhlov. And said, the Gemara, no. That's no problem. Afihia says, I know there's such a din. But you took an olive, and you took out the pit. You didn't swallow the pit. So the olive didn't have a kezayis anymore. When we speak about a shia kezayis, it means the size of an olive with the pit in it. But no one swallows the pit. So once you remove the pit, it's less than a kezayis. He's staring at him. How did the Rebbe say? How did Rabbi Yechanan say a brach achreina? And for the Gemara Islay, Rabbi Chiya knows that din. Matz Michalei, what was the drach yiddish? What was he staring? They should carry not in a matosoy. Take the Gemara Taka. So why did Rabbi Yechanan say a bracha achrayna? If he took out the pit, so then it's less than a kezayis. Lechel Rabbi Yechanan shagavinat in the ma'ot, and marvel Rabbi Yechanan. Why did Rabbi Yechanan take say a bracha achrayna on the olive? And for the Gemara, mishum barrier. So what's the moral of this story? Milta Rabbi Yechanan number came from the story of Rabbi Yechanan. You learn, you can refer to the following din. Cannot see the paid achas shalan of paid achas shal rimon. She tune bracha lefanov. Uli Akhra. So why is it a barrier? Wait a minute. Why is it a barrier? But if he took out the pit, doesn't mean he swallowed it with the pit. But you don't say bracha achrayna on the pit. But because he swallowed it with the pit, so therefore if you change the status of barrier, or doesn't mean even if you take out the pit, it's also called a barrier. It's a little unclear what Taisus is driving at. I think there are two versions in the Rishonim. I think the Balei Taisus have two versions of what this line is. So that's what it says in the Rishonim. That you need a kezayis. In order to say bracha achrayna, you need a kezayis. But if you have a barrier, you don't need a kezayis. A davar shalom, a barrier. A davar shalom means a natural davar shalom. What if they have Hershey's Kisses? And it's a davar shalom, that's the way they manufacture, but it's only synthetic, that's only man-made. That's also a barrier. Or they have these tiny little candies that their little children swallow. Yeah. Like that. It's a barrier, it's also a double shalom, but it's only synthetic. That's not the way it grows. Not-